Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from God our Father and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. So far this Lent, we have studied the Ten Commandments and the Apostles' Creed. The Ten Commandments tell us what God expects of us, what we should and should not do. They show us our sin and our need for God. The Ten Commandments is part of God's law, telling us clearly what we must and must not do. Martin Luther put the Ten Commandments first as the first section in his small catechism so that we would see our need for God's forgiveness and mercy. The Apostles' Creed, in contrast, tells us what God has done for us already. In three short paragraphs, this brief explanation of who our God is tells us what God has done for us in creating the world and in saving us from our sins. And the Apostles' Creed also talks about how the Holy Spirit works in the church to make us, his people, holy. That doesn't mean perfect. It means forgiven sinners. The Apostles' Creed is part of the gospel then, the good news of God's love for us. It gives us the hope we need to carry on in life as God's redeemed and yet imperfect people. The third part of Martin Luther's small catechism teaches us how to talk with the Lord. Now, I want you right now in your mind to think about a really good friend you have right now in your life. Picture this friend. How often do you speak with this friend? How frequently do you write to or call or in this modern age text or Facebook that friend? Perhaps you prefer Instagram or Snapchat. How often do you communicate with this good friend? Can you see him? Hopefully the answer is that you talk to them often, right? It's impossible to maintain a good friendship if you never speak with your friend. Just as it's impossible to keep your marriage strong if you do not speak with your spouse. The same is true in our relationship with the Lord. If you want to grow in your relationship with God, then we must speak with the Lord on a frequent basis. And that's what prayer is. Prayer is simply speaking and listening to God. Now, there are many, many different types of prayer. There's prayers that are written down. There's prayers that are said on the spot impromptu. There's prayers that involve reading and meditating on God's word and then journaling about what you learn. That's called Lectio Divina. There's centering prayer where you use a word or a phrase to focus your prayer time and let God speak to you in silence. Our Eastern Orthodox brothers and sisters, they chant a lot in their worship, so they sing their prayers to God. There are many, many different ways to pray, which is wonderful because everyone then can find a way of praying that works for you. I don't have to pray the same way Todd does. Todd doesn't have to pray the same way that Gene does. That's wonderful. We can all find our way of talking to and listening to God, whatever works for you. Now, if you will look at the cover page of your bulletin tonight, or I don't know if Steve had that picture up earlier, you will see a famous painting called Grace. And I'd like to share with you the story behind this much-loved and now world-famous picture. Back in the year of 1918, a bearded, saintly old man with foot scrapers to sell called on Eric Enstrom at his photography studio in the tiny mining town of Bovee, Minnesota. I hope I'm saying that right. I'm not a native Minnesotan, but Bovee, Minnesota. From this chance encounter, a world-famous photo was created. Today, Enstrom's picture, Grace, showing the elderly peddler with head bowed and a mealtime prayer of thanksgiving, is known and loved throughout the world. There was something about the old gentleman's face that immediately impressed me. I saw that he had a kind face. There weren't any harsh lines in it, Enstrom said in recalling the 1918 visit of Charles Wilden to his studio. Now you can put a name to a face. The gentleman in this picture is Charles Wilden. It happened that Enstrom at the time was preparing a portfolio of his pictures to take with him to a convention of the Minnesota Photographers Association. He said, I wanted to take a picture that would show people that even though they had to do without many things because of the war, they still had much to be thankful for. On a small table, Enstrom placed a family book, some spectacles, a bowl of gruel. I'm glad we had soup tonight, not gruel. A loaf of bread and a knife on the table. Then he had Wilden pose in a manner of prayer, praying with folded hands to his brow before partaking of his meager meal. To bow his head in prayer seemed to be characteristic of the elderly visitor, Enstrom recalled, for he struck the pose very easily and naturally. As soon as the negative was developed, Enstrom was sure he had something special, a picture that seemed to say, this man doesn't have much of earthly goods, but he has more than most people because he has a thankful heart. That Enstrom's camera had captured something special is an appraisal widely shared today. For today, many grace pictures hang in homes, in restaurants, and in churches across America. Prints have also been shipped to mission stations and other places around the world. The early grace pictures were printed either in black and white or in a brownish tone. Later, Enstrom's daughter, Mrs. Rhoda Nyberg of Coleraine, Minnesota, began hand-painting them in oils, and interest in the picture mounted. Enstrom remembers that his best customers for the picture in the early 1920s were people traveling through Bovie, who stopped and saw the picture in his studio window. As soon as one frame print was sold, he'd make another to take its place. After nearly a half century as a professional photographer, a career dating back to 1900 in Minneapolis and 1907 in Bovie, Enstrom listed Grace as the best of the thousands of pictures he had taken. Mr. Enstrom took a picture of Charles Wilden praying, and now that picture is known well beyond the state of Minnesota. And notice in the picture that Mr. Wilden is deep in prayer. You can tell by looking at him that this is a man who has spent a lifetime praying. My hope is that at the end of our lives, the same will be said of us. They prayed. They talked with the Lord each day. It was personal, it was heartfelt, and it strengthened the relationship with the Lord and guided them through good times as well as bad. Now, most of us have been taught to pray growing up. We prayed in Sunday school. We prayed in worship. We watched our parents and our grandparents pray before meals, before going to bed, before going on trips, before going in for surgery, at special times of their lives, and yes, when a loved one died. We watched many other people praying. It's a good way to learn, but that's different than praying yourself. If you're not in the habit of praying, then the Lord's Prayer is a perfect place to start. Jesus himself taught us this prayer. It can be found in both Matthew and Luke's Gospels in the New Testament. We pray this precious prayer every time we gather for worship, as we will do so again tonight. So if you will take your red hymnals and open to page 112 in the front. So page 112 in the small numbers in the front. You'll see on the left-hand column the more modern ecumenical version of the Lord's Prayer, and then on the right-hand column, you'll see the more traditional version of the Lord's Prayer. So I'm going to read through each petition and its explanation from the Lord's Prayer. So we start off with the introduction, Our Father in Heaven. And Luther asks, what does this mean? With these words, God wants to attract us, so that we come to believe that he is truly our Father and we are truly his children, in order that we may ask him boldly and with complete confidence, just as loving children ask their loving Father. The first petition, Hallowed be your name. What does this mean? It is true that God's name is holy in itself, but we ask in this prayer that it may also become holy in and among us. How does this come about? Whenever the word of God is taught clearly and purely, and we as God's children also live holy lives according to it. To this end, help us, dear Father in heaven. However, whoever teaches and lives otherwise than the word of God teaches dishonors the name of God among us. Preserve us from this, Heavenly Father. The second petition, your kingdom come. What does this mean? In fact, God's kingdom comes on its own without our prayer, but we ask in this prayer that it may also come to us. How does this come about? Whenever our Heavenly Father gives us His Holy Spirit, so that through the Holy Spirit's grace, we believe God's holy word and live godly lives here in time and hereafter in eternity. The third petition, your will be done on earth as in heaven. What does this mean? In fact, God's good and gracious will comes about without our prayer, but we ask in this prayer that it may also come about in and among us. How does this come about? Whenever God hinders and breaks every evil scheme and will as our presence in the will of the devil, the world, and our flesh that would not allow us to hallow God's name and would prevent the coming of His kingdom. And instead, whenever God strengthens us and keeps us steadfast in His word and in faith until the end of our lives, this is God's gracious and good will. The fourth petition, give us today our daily bread. What does this mean? In fact, God gives daily bread without our prayer, even to all evil people. But we ask in this prayer that God cause us to recognize what our daily bread is and to receive it with thanksgiving, like Mr. Wilden. What then does daily bread mean? Everything included in the necessities and nourishment for our bodies, such as food, drink, clothing, shoes, house, farm, fields, livestock, money, property, an upright spouse, upright children, upright members of the household, upright and faithful rulers. Hang in there. It's a lot more than just bread, isn't it? Good government, good weather, peace, health, decency, honor, good friends, faithful neighbors, and the like. A lot to give thanks for. The fifth petition. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. What does this mean? We ask in this prayer that our Heavenly Father would not regard our sins nor deny these petitions on their account, for we are worthy of nothing for which we ask, nor have we earned it. Instead, we ask that God would give us all things by grace, for we sin daily and indeed deserve only punishment. So on the other hand, we too truly want to forgive heartily and to do good gladly to those who sin against us. What would the world look like if we took that seriously? The sixth petition, save us from the time of trial. What does this mean? It is true that God tempts no one, but we ask in this prayer that God would preserve and keep us so that the devil, the world, and our flesh may not deceive us or mislead us into false belief, despair, and other great and shameful sins, and that although we may be attacked by them, we may finally prevail and gain the victory. The seventh and last petitions, and deliver us from evil. What does this mean? We ask in this prayer, as in a summary, that our Father in heaven may deliver us from all kinds of evil, affecting body or soul, property or reputation, and at last, when our final hour comes, may grant us a blessed end, and take us by grace from this valley of tears to Himself in heaven. And then the conclusion or the doxology. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours now and forever. Amen. What does this mean? That I should be certain that such petitions are acceptable to and heard by our Father in heaven. For God Himself commanded us to pray like this and has promised to hear us. Amen, amen means yes, yes, it is going to come about just like this. What I value and really appreciate about Martin Luther's explanation to each part of the Lord's Prayer is that it helps us to appreciate this perfect prayer that Jesus taught us. that it unpacks all the richness that this prayer contains. So I encourage you to go home and reread what Luther said about each part of the Lord's Prayer. If you do so, the next time you pray the Lord's Prayer, you will find yourself slowing down and being much more intentional about what you are saying. We should not fly through the Lord's Prayer like we are sprinting in the Olympics. Rather, take your time as you pray the Lord's Prayer. Savor each and every part like you would a delicious piece of chocolate or a fine wine. Savor the Lord's Prayer and use it often in your life. And if you do so, you will be blessed indeed. Amen.